IGTV.
Okay, before I finish today on The Secret of Babylon, I was supposed to do something a couple of days ago, which is talk about my book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle. Some of you may have seen three very short promotional videos that I made about this book, and you wondered, what are these doing here? Where's the explanation? Well, if you are signed up at our website, you received an email from my sister Kelly with an explanation. Others of you who aren't subscribed might wonder what that was all about. Well, I was supposed to explain that a couple days ago, but I'm just going to give the briefest of explanations here as an introduction to this video, and then I'll tell you more about it tomorrow. But a saint, one of our loyal viewers and supporters, has contributed a good sum of money to pay Amazon to promote The Lie of Every Man's Battle. The reason behind that is, it's all strategic, ladies and gentlemen, is that I believe this to be my most marketable book. And I love the truths in this book. I think they're so very important because, as we know, Satan has hijacked the topic of human sexuality, and he has used it as the battle cry of the Christian religion. Instead of them standing for truth, they're combating a false enemy, and in the process have brought hundreds of thousands, even millions, into bondage, religious bondage under the law. And it's all around the topic of sex. And I would love to get this book into the hands of people who need to be delivered from this bondage. It's a battle that men are not meant to fight, and women are dragged into it as well. So I definitely want the information to get out. My goal is never to like sell books. I want people to have the information. I'm not in this to make money at all. I promise you that is not my motivation. But see, if we widen the mouth of the funnel, if we get even some Christians interested in this book, and they should be because the Christians have been screwed by their own religion on this topic, then some may become interested in my other work. And so it's a way of bringing more people into the work. For instance, if they like this book, they say, I wonder what else this Martin Zender character has written or said, and then they find my other stuff. So I'll explain more of that. But if you see those promotional videos, that's the short story behind that. Again, I'll talk more about that tomorrow. But on to Babylon. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. There was an objection by one of our friends named Craig, who is an admitted preterist, and I have no time. It's almost a waste of breath to refute preterism, because the premise of preterism is so absurd in the first place. Preterism says that everything in the book of Revelation is historical. All the bowls and the wraths and the thunder and the lightning of Revelation was fulfilled, you see, in 70 AD when Titus and the Roman army overthrew Jerusalem. And of course, the complications, the problems with that are myriad. First off, that the 1,000 years has already run its course. The 1,000 years ended in 1070 AD, and we're now living on the new heavens and the new earth. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it spectacular? This is the new heavens and the new earth, in which there's no more death, no more tears. If this is it, I want a refund. The problems with preterism are legend, and so I'm not here to refute that. But Craig makes a couple arguments. I'm just going to deal with two and then go right into the text of Revelation chapter 17. His first sentence is off. He says, "Mystery Babylon was first century Jerusalem." This is somebody trying to make the case that Babylon is really Jerusalem. When God says Babylon, he meant to say Jerusalem. The first problem is, he says, "Mystery Babylon." So you got a problem right off the bat with the word mystery, because the scripture doesn't say Mystery Babylon. It says Secret Babylon. That's the concordant translation, and that is the proper translation. A mystery is something that might never be known. A secret is just something that is unseen, that is hidden until it is time for it to be known. So all through this, we have an individual quoting the King James version, which is a problem right away. But anyway, Craig goes on, and Craig is certainly, anybody who's a preterist or even an eternal torment believer, everyone is welcome on this channel, and you're welcome to comment on this channel. But I have you know, when you're commenting on this channel, you're playing hardball, so, you know, you're subject to have your comment read and analyzed, which is all very fine, especially when it's easy pickings, and I consider this to be easy pickings. Mystery Babylon was first century Jerusalem. It's easy to prove. And see, that kind of rubs me the wrong way. Whenever you put the word easy next to like interpreting Revelation, I got a problem with it. I have never said and will never say that interpreting Revelation is easy. It's easy to prove that Mystery Babylon was first century Jerusalem. And then Craig goes on to not prove it. If you would like to see these comments, they are public. Go to yesterday's video, look for Craig, and then I respond in a couple different places. He responds to me, and it's a very civil, very cordial dialogue here, which is how we do it at MZTV. So I really respect Craig for taking my response to his argument and arguing back. Nothing wrong with arguing, folks. There's just something wrong with losing your cool, and nobody's losing their cool here. Calling people terrible names, disparaging someone's character. None of that is happening here, so I appreciate this dialogue. It's easy to prove. No, actually, Scripture proves the opposite, and I'm going to give you the strongest proof of that today. But let's look at the word secret, because that's what Scripture says. Secret Babylon. A secret is something that is not known or seen, unseen by others. Something kept hidden. So this is the Scripture talking. Secret Babylon. And so it doesn't mean that when God says Babylon, he means Jerusalem, or he means New York City, or he means Washington, D.C. It just, he means Babylon, but it's a secret. That is, it is hidden or unseen by others. I think it is quite viable to say that this is hidden Babylon. And how do you hide a city? How do you keep a city from being known or seen by others? Put it underground. And again, what I'm telling you about my theory, and that's just what this is, I'm giving you my theory based on Scripture. The one thing I'm not doing is forwarding a mistranslation of Scripture, nor am I adding to the Scripture. And you will see a couple cases of Craig adding words to the Scripture, thoughts to the Scripture that are not there. And even when Peter says in 1 Peter 5:13, he's greeting the saints from the church that is at Babylon, Craig says, well, that's obviously Jerusalem. It is. In fact, he puts Jerusalem in parentheses. Doesn't Peter know where he is? Peter is in Babylon. Well, what's Peter doing in Babylon? I don't know, and it doesn't matter. Here's where human reasoning kicks in. Why don't you? Well, Peter could be in Babylon. Obviously, he's in Jerusalem. No, he's in Babylon. How he got there, I don't know. Why he's there, I don't know. Was he exiled there? I don't know, and I don't care. And God doesn't want us to care because the Scripture doesn't bother to explain it. It just says, Peter, greeting you from the ecclesia that is at Babylon. The guy's in Babylon. When he says Babylon, he doesn't mean Jerusalem. Peter's not in Washington, D.C. He's not in Babylon, New York. He's in Babylon. I'm sorry, but that's what the Scripture says. So I am taking the scripture at its word, and this is my theory. I want to make sure everyone knows this. I would be very happy for Babylon to be rebuilt. If Trump wants to rebuild his giant city, above ground city, great. I'm all for it, and I'll say, well, my theory was wrong, but there will be a Babylon at the end. That much I know. Craig says, Mystery Babylon was first century Jerusalem. It's easy to prove. No, it is impossible to prove because it's simply not true. In fact, I'm going to prove the opposite right now. 17:4, Revelation. And the woman was clothed with purple and scarlet, gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, brimming with abominations and the uncleanness of the prostitution of her and the earth. And on her forehead is written the name, Secret Babylon, the Great. Secret Babylon the Great, the mother of the prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. You'll notice verse 4. And the woman was clothed with purple and scarlet. The woman. Wouldn't you like to know who this woman is that John sees? The last verse of chapter 17, verse 18. And the woman. This is God's explanation. And the woman whom you perceived is the great city, which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, has Jerusalem ever been a kingdom over the kings of the earth? Never. Jerusalem, all throughout history, has practically been a laughing stock. She will be. And how does Craig get out of this when I bring this evidence before him? He said, well, Jerusalem has the right to be kings over the kings of the earth. They have a right to have a kingdom over the kings of the earth. But that doesn't say, it doesn't say that in verse 18. God only knows what the King James Version says here. I guess we could know ourselves if we looked at it, but I'm not going to bother looking at the King James Version. The woman whom you perceived is the great city which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. Babylon is the only city in world history that has ever had a kingdom over the kings of the earth. And it will be the city once again which will be a kingdom, which will have a kingdom over the kings of the earth. And so when you twist scripture to say, well, Jerusalem will be, I know this is that Secret Babylon is Jerusalem because Jerusalem has the right to be, to have a kingdom over the earth. But that's not what the scripture says. It says it has a kingdom over the earth, and Jerusalem never has had a kingdom over the earth. So secret, hidden, Babylon, to me, in this word itself and in the definition of the word secret, is sown the what I would call, according to my theory, the truth that it is hidden. That this city will be hidden. And in this city are all the Israel types. I'm not going to use the J word here. I'm not going to use the J word. Because just by saying the J word, that is the nationality of the people who will be headquartered in this fortified city, sounds immediately like one is racist, and I am not that. So from now on, instead of using the J word, I will say the Israel types. It is the Israel types. And we know that the Israel types all through history have persecuted the saints, all through history. But here at the end of Millennium 6, at the end of Eon 3, their power is going to be concentrated, and upon them will come the blood of all the victims of persecution. This is what God says, and that doesn't seem fair, but it's God has done it before. Let me quickly go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 29. Jesus says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You're building the sepulchers of the prophets. He goes on says, fulfill the measure of your father's serpents, progeny of vipers, verse 33. Verse 34, therefore, lo, I'm dispatching to you prophets and wise men and scribes. Of them some of you will be killing and crucifying, and of them some you will be scourging in your synagogues and persecuting from city to city, so that, verse 35, watch this, on you, that generation, should be coming all the just blood shed on the earth, from the blood of just Abel until the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Verily, I'm saying to you, all these things will be arriving on this generation. And that did happen in 70 AD. Is it fair that that generation was held responsible for all the blood of the saints, including Abel? The Pharisees of that day were not alive when Abel was killed by his brother Cain. And yet Jesus says that on you should be coming all the just blood shed upon the earth. Likewise, Babylon will be held responsible. Well, let's see what they are held responsible for. Verse 5 again, and on her forehead is written a name, Secret Babylon the Great, the mother of the prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. And I perceive the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. In verse 20 of chapter 18, make merry over her, O heaven, and ye saints and apostles and prophets, seeing that God judges by passing your sentence upon her. In verse 24 of chapter 18, and in it, that is in Babylon, the blood of prophets and of saints was found, and of all those slain upon the earth. This is unimaginable. And yet here it is written down. Upon that city, which is the concentrated result of Israel-type rebellion and Israel-type power grabbing and making the entire earth drunk with her entertainments, and really being the progeny of all the diabolical Israel types who have gone before. God says of that generation, that concentrated rebellion, those who sit as a queen, who are splendid and who think they are better than other people, and who think that they can never be touched because they're so secure and they're so bunkered in and so rich. But in it, the blood of prophets and of saints was found, not just in the first century, but all through the centuries, and of all those slain upon the earth. All those slain upon the earth. How do you take that? I take it that it's all those slain upon the earth. You don't want to be in Babylon when this thing goes down. Now let's go back to chapter 17. I perceive the woman, verse 6, drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And these are witnesses all through the subsequent millennia. And I marvel at perceiving her. This is an amazing thing. John marvels at it. And he goes on to describe the wild beast. And I want to get into that because I'm not really interested in who the seven heads, the ten horns. But I will say this. John sees seven heads and seven mountains. And verse 9, here's a great law of scriptural interpretation. In 17:9, here's the mind which has wisdom. Are you ready for wisdom? Here's how you wisely interpret the scripture. The seven heads that you see, John, the seven heads, are seven mountains where the woman is sitting on them. And they, that is the seven mountains, are seven kings, period. That's the final part of the metaphor. The heads are mountains and the mountains are kings. And he doesn't say, and the kings are But many people would love to venture a guess as to what that is, but we don't have to. We don't want to because there's seven kings. I don't know who these seven kings are. Five fall. One is. The other one came not as yet. And whatever he may be coming, he must remain briefly. This is all going to happen. I don't know who these people are. Goes on about the wild beasts and the ten horns. They will be forming one opinion. These nations. And here's another interpretation, a beautiful interpretation that we're not going to interpret. Verse 15, he is saying to me, the waters which you perceived, where the prostitute is sitting, are peoples and throngs and nations and languages. So this woman was sitting upon many waters, and here it is. What are the waters? Is it water? No, the waters represent peoples, throngs, nations, and languages. This is something that has power and authority over the entire earth. And if you didn't watch my video yesterday introducing all this, please watch it. And there it is in verse 18. And the woman whom you perceived is the great city. What city? Babylon. Hidden Babylon. Unseen Babylon. Secret Babylon. Not mystery Babylon. The great city which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. This can't be Jerusalem. Can't be. It can't be any other city other than Babylon. Here's the big clue. Which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. What other city fits that description? None other than Babylon. Chapter 18. I'm not going to be able to finish this. But I definitely want to get to the word that I teased you with yesterday. That to me proves that this is a bunkered, fortified city. And it is when the city falls. I'm glad that tomorrow's Friday and I'll be able to finish this up. I planned on part two, but it's going to be part three. But it's not going to be David James can rest his weary soul. It's not going to be part 20. Don't worry, David. I'm not going to disappoint you by expounding in great detail, which many people would probably want me to do, but I'm not going to do it. We're looking at part three on Friday, and then I'll be done for now, unless anyone has further questions or somebody wants me to elaborate even further, I will. And the kings of the earth, I'm going down to verse 9 for the sake of time. I will back up tomorrow. I'll go back to verse 18. I might have to save the Macbeth reference for you for tomorrow, which I will do. I will bring that to you. I'm glad I still have one more day to do that. And I have to give you some more detail about the upcoming project concerning the Live Every Man's Battle, because I will need your help. We need your help on this, on promoting this book, and I will tell you exactly how you can do that. And the kings of the earth who commit prostitution and indulge with her will be lamenting and grieving over her whenever they may be observing the smoke of her conflagration. Well, Martin, it's got to be an above-ground city. There's going to be smoke of the conflagration. What? How? Why? No. If you destroy something underground, you're still going to get smoke. I mean, this goes without saying. I'm sorry I even had to say that, but some will say, it's got to be an above-ground city here, standing afar off because of the fear of her torment, saying, whoa, whoa, the great city, Babylon. There it is again. There it is. There's that nasty word, Babylon. There's that God's nasty name for the city, Babylon. He keeps saying Babylon. Why does he keep saying Babylon? If he means Washington, D.C., why? Whoa, whoa, the great city, Babylon, the strong city. And that's the word I was referencing yesterday. Verse 10, chapter 18. Babylon, the strong city. How in the world could an above ground city in the 21st century be said to be strong? What, you're going to put a moat around it? Like medieval castles? Parapets, armed guards at the perimeter, razor wire. What kind of defense would this be from everyone in the world who wants you destroyed because you have such power over them and you have so much money and you basically own the world and people want you destroyed and you have fortified yourself as much as possible so that in this context you are called a strong city? How could a city be impervious to 21st century destruction if it is an above Ground City. It just seems highly unlikely to me. But again, I tell you, this is my theory. But my theory is based on scriptural revelation, and I refuse to go through a bad translation, and I refuse to add to the scriptures. And you notice I'm reading what the scriptures say, and I'm using rules of scriptural interpretation. The strong city. Verse 10, standing afar off because of the fear of her torment, saying, whoa, whoa, the great city Babylon, the strong city. I cannot think of how any above ground city today could be called strong in light of the modern weaponry that is able to destroy it. And I will contend to you that not even a nuclear bomb could destroy this city. It is so fortified with the latest technology known to man. Not even a nuke will take out Babylon. Not even a nuke could take out Babylon. The strong city. It's a scriptural word. Only God could destroy this city. This explains the marvel, the astonishment of all who are looking on. By the way, I'm going to talk about those at the sea. There are no fewer than six bodies of water surrounding the site of ancient Babylon. Six great bodies of water. I'm going to talk about some of the products that are in the city that can't be had anymore, and the significance of them. That's where the Macbeth reference is going to come in. I present these things to you as my best theory of what is quite possible based on scripture. You see, I am at least basing my theory on correctly translated scripture and tried, tested, and true rules of scriptural interpretation. More. The final installment of The Secret of Babylon tomorrow. Hope to see you then.